Today is Wednesday, third day of the month of Shvat. This is the women's Chumashir. And we are up to the beginning of Perek Yutet of Sefer Bereshit.
Okay, Rabotai. Okay. Last time we met, we just started Perek Yutet of Sefer Bereshit. We're going to start it again because it was a 2-week absence. We'll just review briefly and then move on. So at the beginning of Perek Yutet, a continuation takes place of the events that are found at the beginning of Perek Yutet. Three individuals come to Avraham. They are indeed angels representing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Fulfilled two of their missions already. They went ahead and cured Avraham, who was ill as a result of the Brit Milah. They informed Avraham and Sarah that they would be giving birth to a child. And then the rest of the topic of the Parsha deals with Avraham's prayers on behalf of their third mission, namely to destroy the city of Sodom. However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a decision he would not do so unless he consulted with Avraham. And we read all about that, spend a lot of time on it. Now, the angels are moving toward stone. And we are told at the beginning of Perek Yutet, Pasuk Aleph, Vayavo shnei hamalachim sedoma ba'erev, velot yoshev b'shar sedom. The two angels come to Sodom at night. Lot is sitting at the gate of stone. Vayar Lot vayakam likrasam. Lot sees them and gets up to approach them. Vayishtachu apayim arza. And he bows down to the ground to greet them. Right, that's what the pasuk said. So we raised several questions about the opening pasuk. Rashi handled some of them. Rashi handled the question, why shnei malachim? Why did I need two angels? Rashi answered, one to destroy Sodom, and the other one to save Lot. And these are different types of activities, and as a result, the assumed posture of the Midrash is that every single angel can only do one task, one activity. So the Rashi then asked the question, well, there should have been four angels who visited Avraham. One to cure Avraham, one to inform them about a baby, one to destroy stone, and one to save Lot. Rashi answered that the same angel who cured Avraham can save Lot because that task is called saving people. So once you are in the save mode, you can save Avraham from his illness and Lot, and you don't have to waste an extra angel on that particular task. That's one thing that Rashi said. Rashi then raised the question that the text seems to go shifting back and forth as to whether these people are identified as angels or as people. So if you take a peek, for example, at Pasuk Hey, Vayikru Elot, Vayomru Lo, Aye Ha'anashim Asher Ba'u Elecha. Where are the people who came to see you? So Rashi notes that here at the beginning of the unit, they're not called people, they're called angels. So Rashi answered, on account of the fact that Lot was accustomed to seeing angels in the house of Avraham. Don't forget, until the middle of Parshat Lech Lecha, Lot was traveling together with Avraham until they parted company as a result of the conflict of their shepherds. Therefore, the Torah can identify these individuals as angels, for after all, he recognized them, that they are angels. However, when you're dealing with other people, the people of Sodom, they have no experience witnessing and perceiving angels. Hence, the Torah deliberately switches Aye Ha'anashim. Where are the people? They are not to be identified as angels. That's what Rashi said as well.
How are they able to see them?
Who?
The people in stone, the angels.
Because there is no doubt that no matter which interpretation we accept, their appearance on earth was like a human being. There's no doubt. Everybody agrees that they appeared as human beings. In fact, that point is highlighted by, I forgot who said that if they did not appear as humans, but they're real angels, how could they even go through the motion of eating? Both in Avraham's house, they had a big meal, and here they're going to be offered matzot. What do you mean? If you're an angel, you don't eat. So their appearance, undoubtedly, on this world is not what an angel would look like. I have not yet seen an angel, so I can't describe it for you. We can only imagine he's that white guy flying around with some wings, the way they're depicted in all pictures. But the way they appear here on earth is no doubt as a human being. No doubt as a human being. Yeah. That's a second point that Rashi made. Then Rashi also said that that Lot was appointed today as a judge for the city of Sodom. Rashi claims on the phrase Velot Yoshev Beshar Sodom that the word Yoshev is in the present tense, claims Rashi, which it is, and just today he was appointed as a judge. Typically, courts did reside and folk and work at the gates of a city. That's well known throughout Tanakh. And one of the reasons for it is because in case there are claims that have to be adjudicated, one should not have to experience any difficulty seeking the court. So there was a general practice, even amongst the non-Jews of that particular time, the court system would be located at the gate of the city. And in Tanakh, our courts are mentioned quite frequently. The most famous example is Boaz Hasha'ara, who comes to the gate as a member of the Sanhedrin. So Rashi points that out as well. Then final point that Rashi said, that why did Lot suddenly go to greet these individuals? Because there is something rubbed off upon him having grown up in Avraham's household. Avraham was a machnis oreach, so Lot has this tendency within him, despite the fact that the law of the town, as we pointed out several times, does not allow you to invite guests into your house. But nonetheless, Lot does so. Yeah. Several other points on this particular pasuk, so besides Rashi. So the Bechor Shor, a very famous commentary, a Rishon in the medieval ages, writes that the reason why it says that Lot was Yoshev Bishar Sodom is not because of Rashi's that he was appointed as a judge today, but Lot had some remaining spark of the influence of Avraham upon him. And although when they split, he deliberately sought out Eretz Sodom on account of its lush grazing land, and the Torah described it as Kigan Eden, almost like Gan Eden. That's what the Torah says. Gan Be'eden. It's a very lush area. He knew that this particular community, from a morality point of view, is incredibly corrupt. And that's why he decided, I'll live on the outskirts of the town. I don't want to be necessarily corrupted with their morality. So the way he tried to protect himself and isolate and shield himself from all of the inappropriate or the terrible morality, lack of morality in the town, was to park himself in at the gates of the city, not in the interior. That's what the Bechor Shor says. And in fact, he tells us to look at a pasuk in Parshat Lech Lecha that supports his contention. If you go back for a moment, please, we learned this years ago. It was chapter 12, that was a long time ago. It is chapter 13 of Sefer Bereshit. And look at Pasuk Yud Bet, and tell me what phrase in the Pasuk would Bechor Shor cite to support his contention as to where Lot lived. What? How does that say that he was at the gate? Ad Sodom. Vayehal Ad Sodom. What do you mean Ad Sodom? Vayehal means he pitched his tent. He established his house. So if you want to say somebody moved to Teaneck, you don't say he moved up until Teaneck. He moved to Teaneck. Vayehal Bisdom. And he opened up his tent where? In the city of Sodom. But it doesn't say that. It says Ad Sodom. Says Bechor Shor, that's to teach us that his tent was pitched, his house was not in the core inner city of Sodom, just on the outskirts. Ad Sodom. It's a very interesting observation, and I kind of like it. It's something we did not make note of when we read that particular pasuk, but it's an unusual phrase, and he picks up on it to support his contention that when it says here, Bisha'ar Sodom, it is not because the courts were there. He could have been any place near the gates, because he is deliberately avoiding trying to mingle with those that appear in Sodom itself. In Sodom itself. That's what the Bechor Shor added to the discussion. Yeah. A second comment is made again by Bechor Shor. The phrase appears as Vayar Lot Vayakam Likratam. Go back to chapter 18 at the beginning. It's Pasuk Bet or Gimel. When Avraham notices them, the word Vayakam does not appear. A different verb appears. What does it say? Vayaratz likratam. Vayaratz likratam. So we could say, if we wanted to be stubborn, and some are, that they make a big deal about this on account of the fact, that Avraham exhibited much greater exuberance when he has an opportunity to what? To engage in Hachnasat Orchem. And we communicate that exuberance by saying, Vayaratz Likratam. Lot He observes it, but it's not terribly enthusiastic, and therefore it's only vayakam likratam. So somebody, I forgot who said this, said, do not be tempted to criticize Lot. What I want you to do is to emphasize, I want you to look at the following two situations. Look at the phrase, Vayavo shnei hamalachim sidoma ba'erev, versus when the Torah reports the three people are coming to Avraham and tell me what's running whoever this perish is mine. Yes. Good. Okay, if you almost hit it, you fell off the cliff. But look at what?
It was dark.
Good. So if it's dark.
So he didn't run to see him because he had to wait until they get to him.
Exactly. Exactly. Abraham is experiences these visitors kichom hayom, in the middle of the day, broad daylight, 12 o'clock, the heat of the day. So your vision enables you to see people at a distance, right? If you look in the news, if you look at the weather report, it'll tell you visibility. 10 miles is normally considered how far we can see. If you'd be on a plane, how far the pilot can see 10 miles ahead of him on a clear day. When it's very cloudy, sometimes it's less than a mile. It's actually, it's sometimes quite dangerous. So Abraham, who sees kechol mayom, it can be vayara tzikrata. But Lot, when do these people arrive? Ba'erev, in the evening, where it's actually a little difficult to see. In fact, according to the AAA, the most difficult time to see people is at twilight. Ba'erev, the most difficult time to see is during twilight. So they had to come much closer to him in order for him to recognize that people are coming. So how does the Torah communicate that? Vayakam likrasam. They're here. He gets out of his chair, out of his lounge chair, to greet them. But it's not vayaratz due to the fact that that was not necessarily a possible because they came ba'erev. And Rashi had raised the question, or Ramban or somebody, what took so long to get from Avram to Sodom, particularly if they're angels? Should have taken 20 seconds. They're not worried about traffic. So Rashi answered, they did not come immediately because they wanted to see how God will react to Avraham's prayer. So therefore they are waiting all day for Avraham to finish his prayer, and that's why they first arrive in Sodom Bo'erev. But the Bo'erev tells us, accounts for the distinction between Vayakam and Vayarts. Oh, so what I just told you is the Rabbeinu Bachya. If you look at page 10b, Rabbeinu Bachya makes that point on page 10b. Does anybody know why they're all named number 10 today? Anybody know why? All the pages are number 10? 10a, 10b, why? Eli Manning, of course. Because Eli, I would be disappointed if you didn't know that. Because you're one of the biggest Giant fans on the planet. We have common bond in that respect. So Eli retired after 18 years as a Giant quarterback. What?
You even heard me called into my
princess. Yes, that is correct. Yes. So he writes, Vayakam likrasam, Avraham ra'a otam me'rachok, ki baboker haya kichom hayom. Olefika chamar vayaretz likratam. Avolot lo ra'a otam achi ukrovim elav, ki ba'erev bo, Shne'emar Sidoma Ba'erev Ulefikach Amar Vayakam. So the Rabbeinu Bachya is the one who makes that observation. So let's continue with the text and move on. Vayomer, and he said, Lot said, Hine na Adonai Suru na el Beit Avdechem Velinu Virachatsu Raglechem Vehishkamtem Bahalachtem Lidarkechem Vayomru Lo Ki Barachov Nalin. So I'm just going to translate the phrase. And he said, my masters, Hineina Adonai. So if you remember in Bereshit Yudchet, when Abraham used the word Adonai, do you remember the comment that we made on it? What debate did we witness in Bereshit Yudchet about that word? Vayomar Adonai, imna matzati chen be'inecha, al na ta'avar me'al avdecha. What did we debate? You have to notice this is going to be on the test. What? No, that's far more significant. It's true, but far more significant. Who are we talking to? The Ribbono Shel Olam or the three people? Remember I told you that when a name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears in the Torah text, the sofer who is writing the word has to be Mikadesh Shem Hashem. He has to have an active mental awareness that he is writing and sanctifying God's name. Now, if the word of a name of God is not intended to refer to God, then he does not have that in mind. For example, in Parshat Mishpatim, the word Elohim appears multiple times as referring to Beit Din. It describes two individuals who are fighting with one another. Ad ho Elohim yavo divar shnehem. May their case be adjudicated by whom? By Elohim. What does that mean? It means Beis Din. So when the sofer writes Aleph, Lamed, Hey, Yud, Mem, he is not going to be Mekadeshit as a name of God. And as a result, if there is a mistake made with that word, what can you do? He can just erase it. But if it represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, you're not allowed to erase something like that. And if there is a mistake in the word or two next to it, that it's missing a couple of letters, let's assume, or a whole word is missing, and you want to get it on the line, you can't erase HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name and fit in the next word. What you have to do is take the whole column out and rewrite the entire column. Because there is an Isur De'oraita against being Mochek, shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Erasing. But take a look at Dvarim for a second. Just for a second. I'll show you the source of it. Dvarim chapter 12. Tells us that when we come into Eretz Yisrael, we have to destroy every remnant and source of idolatry. Abei pasuk bet, I believe. Abei te abdun et kol hamikomot asher abdu shom hagoyim. You are to destroy and eradicate every source of avodah zarah. And the next, and it continues. Et mizbechotam ti totsun. Continue and so on and so on. You have to eradicate. Elohim. That doesn't mean our God. He's their God. That word is not sanctified. And then the next pasuk writes, Lo ta'asun kein la'shem elokecha. Does it say that?
Yeah.
Lo ta'asun kein. Pasuk Dalet. You are not permitted to do so unto our God. To eradicate the name or a place of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a biblical prohibition. Biblical prohibition? Yes.
This is off on a tangent, but you had mentioned that if you make a mistake, you have to take out that column.
If you would have to erase God's name to do
so.
Right.
So, if you make a mistake in Tevara, do you have to start over from Bereshit?
No, no, it's just a column.
Every piece of the Torah is a separate cloth and you attach them?
Yes, precisely.
So if you make a mistake on one section, you only have to take out that.
Thank the good Lord.
when you
make a mistake on mezuzah or tefillin, you can never correct it. Because it, not only because it's one piece, because it has to be done kisidran. It has to be written in the order in which it appears. Well, if you make a mistake and then just fix the mistake, it's no longer written in order. So every time a mistake appears on a mezuzah or a tefillin, they have to be buried. They can never be corrected. Now, that's a couple of hours of work. If this happened by a Sefer Torah, can you imagine? He'd have to start a Bereshis and write the whole thing into the Bar. Thank God the Halacha doesn't consist of
it.
So it's done by columns. No, by the column, wherever it happens to be. If you open up the Sefer Torah, you can see there are columns. When they do Hagvah, they usually try to do it in the middle of a column, but where the stitches are, because it's stronger there, and it won't rip. So that column, which has 22 lines, the number of words is not fixed. It depends on the handwriting of the sofer. Some sofer have smaller handwriting. He can squeeze more on it. If he has bigger handwriting, less words on it. There is it's considered a hidur. It's called the Sefer Torah of Hayes. That every single column should begin with the letter Hay. There are only six exceptions to the rule. Obviously, Bereshis can't start with a... But there are six exceptions to this Sefer Torah Mehudar, which do not begin with the letter He. Do not begin with the letter He.
Do we have any?
All of our Sefer Torah, almost all of them, are with this particular Hidur. So the Sofer really has to calculate, as he's writing, that the last word that he puts on the column, the next word has to be beginning with A. It's not easy. That's why, you know, one day I'll take up the Sefer Torah and I'll show you. That's why sometimes one letter will be 2 miles long. Just an elongated hay or elongated resh. Why does he do that? Because he knows if he writes it regular, puts in the next word, the one on the top is not going to be a hay. So they play games like that. Play games. It's a hidur.
Can you erase in the Torah? I didn't know you could do that.
Yes, you can. You take a razor blade and you scratch it out. You scratch out the letters. Yes. That's how they do it. Right. Because the letters themselves are not absorbed into the parchment. They are written on top of the parchment. And that's why when you take a razor blade, it comes out. You scratch off the ink that are there. That, right. If you take a... Yeah.
I just wanted to ask, you said that this was a hidur, and most of the Sefer Torah, the Ashkenazic, I guess, the Minhag, do the Sfaradim or the Mizrahim also have the same?
I am not sure whether...
Because I know that they have different tikkun, you know... Like
right.
Rules, right?
I'm not sure about how the writing of the... Whether they have that particular tradition or not. I don't know. So... So there, in Perek Yudchet, the word Vayomer Adonai was subject to debate. Some believe that it was a reference to God, in which case Avraham is talking to God, and the sofer has to be Mikadesh, Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, as representing God. Aleph is one of the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has lots of names. Others believe that he was talking to the three people who he thought were people, were guests, just people. In which case, Adonai means my masters, because you're acknowledging that they are your masters, but it's not referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Sofer dare not write that Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud with the intention to sanctify it as God's name. Here, what would you say in the simple context here? Tell me, should there be a debate or should there not be a debate? According to the simple pshat. Why not?
Because it doesn't switch the person who's speaking or doing the action. Right?
No, there it's Avraham, and here it's Lot.
No. In the part about Avraham, right? It says that they came.
Yeah. And Avraham said, Al na savar me'al avdecha. Very similar to what he's saying here. So why is, I'm asking you, there I told you, I reminded you, that there was a debate. I'm asking you if you think there is going to be a debate here. Yes or no, which is very easy to guess, but tell me why. Yeah?
God spoke to Abraham, but he never spoke to
Lot. So, God was there.
Right.
It says at the beginning of the Parsha, Vayera Elov Hashem Be'elonei Mamre. So when God is present and the three people coming to the door are present, we don't know when Abraham starts speaking, we don't know who he's talking to. Is he talking to the three people, please don't leave me, I want to invite you? Or is he talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's sitting next to his bed, because he came to be Mevatech Olah? Who is he asking, Al Na Sa'avar Me'al Avdecha, please don't leave, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Or here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not in the picture. He's not in the picture. Who is he? Who is he obviously talking about? The Malachim. And that is why, even if in Yudchet, he was talking to whom? To the people, it says it in the singular. Vayomer Adonai al na sa'avar me'al avdecha. In case somebody might think that who is he talking to? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can never refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as in the plural. Adonai, what do you mean? You God are multiple gods? The whole thing about HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that what? Echad. He is unique, united in force. So here with the multiple plural, the Rabbin, you pointed it out, and it's correct. It undoubtedly is referring to whom? To the two people present here. So this Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud should undoubtedly be interpreted as my masters talking to the two people. And in fact, Rashi is quick to point this out to us, that we should not be tempted to think that there is a possibility, as we entertained a perek ago, that it might be a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let me just read the Rashi, I'll take your question. Hineina Adonai. Read the Rashi. Hineina Atem Adonim Li. You are what?
My masters.
Achar She'avartem Olai. Now that you have crossed paths and come in my direction, I treat you like my master, and therefore I am inviting you into my house. But do not, Rashi, by telling us this, do not be tempted to think that the word Adonai here refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in fact, I'll tell you a little secret. There are many Rashi Yeshiva in Medinat Yisrael who are not embarrassed to daven in Sephardic Hebrew. even though they are Ashkenazic. They speak the way Hebrew is spoken in Medinat Yisrael. And when they get up to daven for the Yamid, they will say, Baruch Hu. And, everything. Mizmor Shel Chanukat HaBayit LeDavid. But when it comes to the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they say it in Ashkenazis. Baruch Atah Adonai. Many Rashi Yeshiva. Why don't they say, like most Israelis, when they say a bracha, Baruch Atah Adonai? Why don't they say that? Because they're afraid, they don't want to. Exactly. I don't want to refer to God in the plural. So they use the Ashkenazis for the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu when it's Yud Kei Vav Kei, which we pronounce as Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. And it's the takeoff, and the inkling is derived from this pasuk, where we know that Adonai is the plural, and Rashi says, Atem Tiyu Adonim Li, you are going to be my masters. I don't want to say that when I'm referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so they switched to the Ashkenazis just for the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just for the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yes.
Okay. So,
what was that?
Maybe I'm just misunderstanding.
Correct. We did not decide. There is a debate amongst Tanaim and Parshanim of the Chumash. Some said it refers to God. Some said it referred to the three angels.
But in Yitet, we're looked. We're talking about looked. It says Vayomer, meaning Adonai.
Correct. And we are saying that there is no debate in this case. Because God is not here. God was sitting right there next to Eve.
So only for that reason that the passage before says Vayar Hashem. Vayar Adonai Hashem. That's the only reason.
No. That's to tell us that God visited. That's the reason why.
I'm saying that's the only reason that in Lot's instance there's no machlok.
Correct. That is correct. Because we know that there is a possibility that he is speaking to HaKadosh Baruch. It's not the pshat. If you ask me what the pshat is, he's talking to the three people. Just like in our case. Not suddenly turns to HaKadosh Baruch, please, I got some business. Can you please wait for me? Please wait. Please wait. That's what some say it is. Yes.
And no,
nobody thus far has said, and Rashi is alerting us, do not be tempted, and therefore he says, who is he talking to? The two people, you are Adonim Li, my masters. That means that it's not referring to Kudsha Brichu. Yes.
Why wouldn't
there
be a debate in Yud Tet? Because all the language in the Pasuk is in the plural form, and look at the content of what he's saying.
Well, the same thing appears in Yitzchak. He tells them, "Take off, wash your feet, come in." So it's the same language. So what I do is you split the two psukim. Here it's in the same puzzle. I grant you that.
Or is it?
Here it's in the same
puzzle. Yeah, there it's in two different psukim. That might also be support. Why I would say it refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There it just says, Al Nosabra Me'al Abdecha. That's it.
Rabbi,
yes?
The same rabbis who say Adonai in Ashkenazi when it's Hashem do that with Elohim. When it's Hashem, they say some form of Ashkenazi accent.
No, Elohim. There is no difference in Elohim, Ashkenazi, and Sephardi.
Because Elohim is. Really, grammatically, it's a plural word, right? But when it's Hashem, its meaning is singular.
Right.
When it's the gods, it isn't. You could say it was.
No. There is no difference. The sounding is the same.
No,
the sounding is the same. Sounding is the same. Yeah. So he tells them, that's number one. Now what does he ask them? Suru na el beit avdechem velinu v'rachatzu ragleichem. What verb sticks out like a sore thumb? Suru. What does that mean? Suru. What does the word suru normally mean? Turn. Suru. Pick yourself up and move. That's a very unusual phrase to be using to invite them into your house. It's very unusual.
What can it mean, leave the road and come over to my house?
Good.
Or if you're traveling, stop, take a break.
Precisely what the simple interpretation means.
But wasn't there an issue with inviting people into your house? So maybe you had to kind of have them come a different way so that it would be very public.
Excellent. Excellent. I forgot who said that. Yeah, Leora said it. That is true. Right. Yeah. And now there, by Avraham, it doesn't say Suru na el Beit Avdechem. All he asks is Al na savar me'al avdecha. Don't pass my house. But here, that's a very good suggestion that he's somehow they're aware of the fact that what? That they're not allowed to stay in people's homes. And as a result, what do they not want to do to a resident of Sodom? What do they, the angels, not want to do to this resident? They don't want to put him in danger. Therefore, what's their plan? Just to keep walking. And now, in order for them to come into the house, they indeed have to change direction. How do I indicate the change in direction? Suru na me'olai. Yes, that's excellent. Excellent. That's very good. Yes?
It also supports that he'd be living on the outskirts of the town.
What?
It supports that he's living on the outskirts of town.
That's also possible. Yes? Now, Rashi has a comment with a little different twist of Leora. A little different twist. So take a look at Rashi, Suruna. Rashi says, Ikmu et haderech libeti. Turn in the direction of what? My house. Derech akalaton. I don't want you to walk straight to my house. What do I want you to do? Take a circuitous route. Akalaton is a circuitous route. Do not walk straight to my house. I'm inviting you, but do not walk straight. Shelo yakiru she'atem nichnasim sham. So that all of my neighbors or anybody else will not notice that you're coming. Lekach ne'emar suru. So the question is, who is the one who is actually expressing concern? According to Rashi, Lot knows how dangerous it is, and he's telling them to do what? To take a circuitous route, because maybe you'll fake out all of the people who are checking in on me. Or you can say no. It's the angels themselves are now proceeding somewhat in a circuitous route in order to defend and protect Mr. Lowe. But the comment is based on the unusual phrase of Suru na el Beit Avdechem. Correct. Yes.
What's the he name?
That's an excellent question. We'll get to it. It's a totally superfluous word. We will see there will be some comments on it. Hold on. May not even get to it today. Continues Rashi. Velinu virachatsu ragleichem. Now, can anybody remember the sequence that Avraham asked them? What did it say? First, rachatsu raglachem, and then what? Come into my house. Now, What did Rashi say? Who remembers Rashi's comment?
Because they might have been worshippers of the dust. Of
the dust, exactly. And Avraham did not want Avodah Zarah brought into his house. Lot has no such fear. And as a result, the Torah emphasizes that and tells us that before they wash their feet, come in. Linu, come in and spend the night. Then I'll give you a bath. So says Rashi. Let's take a look at Rashi. Again, we always start with Rashi. Linu v'rachatzu raglechem v'chidarkan shel bnei adam lalun techila v'achakach rocheitz. Is it the custom of people to go to bed? Lalun means to sleep. And then wash your feet? Of course not. First thing you do when you come to the house, you wash your feet. Furthermore, Ve'aud Shaharei Avraham Omar Lohem Tchila, Avraham told them, Rachatsu Raglechem, first wash your feet. Ella Kach Omar Lot, this is what Lot said. Im Kishiyevo Anshei Sdom, if the people of Sdom will actually come to my house, and my circuitous route was ineffective, and they come because they notice I have guests, vayar shikvar rachatzu raglechem, and he will have noticed that what? They already washed their feet, ya'alilu alai, they will now start making all kinds of accusations against me. V'yomru, kvar avru shnei yamim o shlosha. Your guests have been here for what? For quite some time. They are spick and span. They really had a great bath. V'lo hodatan, and you, Mr. Lot, did not inform us that you have guests? Because we don't tolerate guests. Why didn't you tell us? Lefikach Amar, therefore he calculated to himself and he said, Mutav sheyit akvu kan be'afak ragleyem, it would be better that they sit there with the dust still on their feet. Sheyunirin Kimoshabo Akshav, so that it generates the impression, oh, they just arrived. Lefikach Amar Linu Tchila V'achar Kein Rachatzu. Therefore he said, come and spend the night, and then you'll wash. That's what Rashi says. In which case, it has a positive overflow, overtone for Lot. He's doing it for a logical reason. Others, as I said 2 seconds ago, said, no, you know why? It's the exact opposite of Avraham. Avraham did not want Avodah Zarah trespassing in his house, even the dirt, which represented some form of idolatry. He didn't want that in his house. Whereas Lot doesn't bother him, which is a negative comment about Lot's invitation, and according to Rashi, it's a little more positive. A little more positive. Good.
Okay. Rabbi,
yes?
I believe that since he recognized them as Malachim, he knew for a fact that they would not be practicing Avodah Zarah.
That's an excellent question. That's an excellent point. Perhaps that Rashi is aware that the Torah emphasized Malachim, so Lot, who recognizes that they are Malachim, exact, very good point. And in fact, there are those who point out that Lot was not the only person standing around here at this particular juncture. But Lot is the only one who saw them as angels. And the Torah emphasizes that by saying, Vayar Lot Vayakam Likrasam. Vayar Lot. Take those two words out of the pasuk. Take those two words out. What does it say? Two people come to visit. Lot is Barashan Stom. It could have said Vayarak Vayakam Likrasam. And obviously, if Vayakam Likrasam, obviously what did he do? He saw them. If he didn't see them, why would he be getting up to greet them? So why is it necessary to highlight for us Vayar Lot? Answer, he saw that they were angels. Everybody was able to see that there were people there, but he understood that they're angels. And this is a trick that the Torah uses a couple of times. Please go to the end of Parshat Vayetze. End of Parshat Vayetze. It's the maftir of Parshat Vayetze. Maftir of Parshat Vayetze. That's it. That's it. Perek Lamed Bet.
Page 168.
This is after Lavan and Yaakov make a peace treaty with one another. Chapter 32. And the Torah says, V'Yaakov halach l'darko. Vayar, what does it say? What does it say? Who can read the pasuk for me? Vayikru b'alehem. What does it say?
Vayomer Yaakov kasher ra'am.
Machane Elohim zeh. Vayikra shem hamakom hahu machanam. So I'm going to share with you, close with one of the most fantastic interpretations I ever heard from the Rebbe, based on a Targum Yonatan ben Uziah. What happens here is Yaakov sees this camp of angels, Machane Elohim zeh, and he calls it in the plural Machanai. Why didn't he call it Machane? Why did he have to call it the plural? Says, listen to this. Says Yonatan ben Uziel. Targum Yonatan ben Uziel. Says, Ukra Atra. I'm giving you the Aramaic translation as Vayikra Shem HaMakom Ahu Machanayim. Ukra Atra. Belishon Kucha. Belishon Beit Kucha Machanayim. Ukra Atra, he called the place, Atra is the place. Now many times there is an Aramaic translation, an Aramaic text, and then the Torah tells us that he called it by its Hebrew name. So the Targum writes, Ukra Atra Belishon Kudsha. What does Belishon Kudsha mean? Lashon HaKodesh. That's what it, Yonatan ben Uziel should have said here. Ukra Atra, he called the place in Hebrew, Machanayim. But Yonatan ben Uziel says, Ukra Atra, Belishon Beit Kucha Machanayim. Belishon Beit Kucha. Maza Beit Kucha? The Beit HaMikdash. He called this Beit HaMikdash Machanayim. So the Rav asked, what are you talking about? What's the Beis HaMikdash got to do with this? Said the Rav, how many people are traveling with Yaakov at that particular time?
70,
correct. And who's the only people who notices this gathering of angels of God? Only Yaakov. Vayomer Yaakov Kaasher Ra'am. Yaakov sits up when he saw them. He saw them. Nobody else saw them? The answer is no. They didn't. And Yaakov comes to the conclusion that not every member of Am Yisrael is going to have the privilege of experiencing divine revelation in the house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Only special people, maybe the Kohanim, maybe the Nisiim, but you and me are never going to have the capacity to experience divine revelation. What led him to that conclusion? The fact that none of the other 69 people said anything when they come to a camp of what? Angels of God. And it bothers Yaakov to no end. You mean to tell me experiencing divine revelation is limited to the privileged few like me? No. I'm going to change the name of this Beit HaMikdash. A bayit always has a ba'alat ha-bayit. And what decisions does a Baal and a Baal HaBayit make about their home?
Whom to admit.
Exactly. Whom to admit. That's our private domain. And Yaakov says, I don't want to call this building any longer a Beit HaMikdash. I want to call it a Machaneh. What is... How is Machaneh used throughout Tanakh? As a battleground. It's a place of war. In the very next Parshan, Parshas Vayishlach, when Yaakov comes and he prepares for battle, what does he say? What am I going to do? I'm going to split my camp into what? Shnei Machanot. He calls it Machanot. Vahaya. And what happens? In Yavo Esav, he called Vahaya Hanishar Lifleta. Machaneh throughout Tanakh is used as a battlefield. And on the battlefield, there are no special privileged characters. Everybody in battle faces the dangers equally, especially if you're in Tzahar. Your commander doesn't sit in his office and he sends out the infantrymen. Your commander is first in line. And what does he say? Achara! Achara, you follow me! Everybody is exposed to danger. What is Yaakov now saying? I want the Beit HaMikdash not to be called a Beit HaMikdash, where there's a Baal HaBayit and a Baal HaBayit. I want everybody who comes to the house of God to be able to experience divine revelation. How does he symbolize that? Vayikra Shem HaMakom HaHu Mahanayim. This place, which upon which the Beit HaMikdash will be built, is from here on going to be designated by Yaakov as a Machaneh, as a place where there is equal access to everybody. And what prompted this remark? The same thing. Because it's only Vayomer Yaakov Ka'asher Ra'am. He's the only one who sees this Machaneh Elohim Zeh. Here too, Vayar Lot. Lot can see that these guys dressed as human beings are actually angels. Nobody else can comprehend that. How do I know that that's the case? That's why the Torah wrote Vayar Lot. Because it's not necessary. I know Vayar Lot because it says Vayakam Likrasam. Of course he saw them. So the phrase Vayar Lot is designed to indicate that his sight, his understanding, was not like everybody else's ri'iyah. Everybody else's ri'iyah, they saw them and they got up and greeted them. Lot's ri'iyah was a penetrating one. And this is something that the Torah does occasionally. I just showed you in Parshas Vayetzeh, where Targum Yonatan ben Uziel reacts the fact that Yaakov is the only one amongst 70 people to see the Machaneh Elohim Zeh. Yes.
But since Machanayim is particularly two camps, not Machanot plural in general, it seems like there's a two specific camps. And if you want to apply it to Beit HaMikdash, we always say that the Beit HaMikdash is a section of Yerushalayim Shel Mala and Yerushalayim Shel
Mala. Very nice, beautiful.
So the camp of the angels and the camp of Bnei Adam intersect at
beautiful. Excellent. Excellent. Yes.
I don't know, because it says Yaakov halach l'darko v'yifgu bo malachei Elohim.
Right.
It's that the malachim encountered him. Him, of singular.
Okay.
So why are you saying that he was so amazed that he was the only one that saw them? Because
But why didn't they encounter anybody else? Your point is well taken. Okay. But why it's bothering him that it is the case. He's the only one who feels it. And it bothers him that his wife and children and grandchildren don't perceive the presence of Machane Elohim.
But it's not really perception. It's almost like a physical.
I understand, but how's that possible? You're standing next to somebody. Yeah. Yes. You got to move. Yeah.
You see with Hagar and with Lot that they recognized them. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Why? Because they were...
They grew up in the house of Abraham.
So the reason why the sons and the wives did not receive is because they're brought up in the house of Laban. And it's not a place where they're going to see. It's not Yahweh's place.
Interesting.
So
very nice. Very nice. Very nice thought. Very nice thought. All right, we'll stop. Yeah, last question.
Not question, but you said that they didn't encounter him because they're
Well, now, right now, he's not traveling in battle mode yet. That's going to be in the next Parsha. In Parshat Vayetzeh, he's just walking in the streets, and this camp of angels somehow encounter him. We'll stop here. We'll continue next of us.
I mean, is that verb used also where Yaakov gets hurt in his...
No, that's when he counted the angel in the next parsha.
Right, but that verb isn't used there also? Because this
Paga?
Verb... Paga.
No, it's not.
Because this is like an injury.
Yeah, I hear. Yes.
Also, why did Avraham and Lot